أولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته today we'll do the 30th juz. Before I begin, I should mention something. The Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic hadith that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِخَوَاتِيمِهَا, that deeds are by their ends. They're, you know, it's just how well you do at the end gives an indication of how well you've been doing something throughout. So as we're here at the end of Ramadan, literally the last hour or 2 hours of Ramadan, we should try our best to make it, you know, the best hours of Ramadan. And alhamdulillah, we have the opportunity to spend our last hours of Ramadan finishing the last juz of Quran. So I first of all want to thank everybody who came for coming, Jazakumullah khairan for coming. And number two, it's going to be a really good ending, inshallah, I hope, for Ramadan, because we'll end up studying the most, probably the most profound juz in the Quran. And we won't obviously get through everything in detail. That's going to be for the tafsir class, inshallah, that will be ongoing throughout the year. But we'll try to skim through and highlight some of the really important points that are covered in this really heavy juz. All the surahs in this juz are Makki surahs, except the surah Al-Bayyinah, which is a Madni surah. There's also some people who believe that the surah Idha Zulzilat Al-Ardu Zilzalaha is also a Madinan surah. But Allahu A'lam. But regardless, every other surah in this juz is a Makki surah. Why this is important to know is these are, in fact, not just Makki surahs. And throughout our study of Quran, I've been trying to highlight slight differences, subtleties in the style between the two revelation of topic, linguistically, the differences here and there. But here, these are some of the earliest revelations that were sent to the Prophet ﷺ. So what they are, they're short. Nothing is mentioned in detail. Everything is mentioned in short, in brief. Because early revelation was all brief, and later revelation was all detailed, which tells us that this is actually a good methodology to begin studying Qur'an as well. That we study the brief part of the Qur'an first, and then study the longer surahs later on, if we are doing an in-depth study. Or if someone is memorizing Qur'an, it makes sense for them to memorize the small surahs first, and then memorize the bigger surahs later, because the smaller ones are easier to memorize, easier to learn, easier to understand. So these are early Makkah surahs, so they're brief. Nothing is mentioned in detail. The stories of prophets of the past are not mentioned in detail. There is just a reference, and they're explained in other surahs of Quran. And the third thing is that they're focused on one primary thing, which is on getting us to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who we should worship, and the Day of Judgment is for sure going to take place. There's a first group of surahs. We're going to take a different approach to this juz. We'll study a bunch of surahs together that all deal with the same theme. Then we'll quickly skim through the rest of them and see what are some good things there are there. Second thought part. Third, I'm going to highlight something that I mentioned a few days ago. The oath of the Qur'an, or the oaths that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes in the Qur'an. There's a lot of surahs here that begin with an oath. So we'll highlight some of those surahs and some of the things that we can kind of learn from the beautiful style. And lastly, inshallah, hopefully we'll be able to conclude with a really nice, cohesive look at how each surah comes one after the other, and how that placement has a really profound impact on the meaning that the surah provides. Okay, so let's first start by looking at the first major group here. That's Surah Naba, then Surah Nazi'at, then Surah Abasa, Surah Al-Takwir, Surah Al-Infitar, Surah Al-Mutaffifin, and Surah Al-Inshiqaq. Almost a half juz. All of these surahs have one primary preoccupation, and which is the Day of Judgment. Scenes from the Day of Judgment, scenes from Hellfire, scenes from Jannah, that is the primary preoccupation of these surahs. So we'll take a look at some of them, inshallah, and try our best to get through them, inshallah. Okay, let's look at Surah An-Naba. Surah An-Naba starts with Amma Yatasa'alun. The translation says, what is it that they're asking about? Or about what they are asking each other. Anin Naba'il Azim, they're asking about the great news. Alladhi hum fihi mukhtalifun, about which they are in a very permanent type of disagreement. Mukhtalifun is a ism, is a noun, and that shows that they have a very strong disagreement. If Allah said yakhtalifun, you could say, well, they're disagreeing a lot, but the disagreement is not binding and strong. Mukhtalifun. This is the reaction that the Prophet ﷺ got when he first started to preach. That there's going to be resurrection, you will be asked about what you do in this life. This was a new thing to the Arabs. This was something they did not take easily. And they started arguing. And they're like, you know, what's he saying? What's up with this new thing that he's saying, that we'll be resurrected after life, after dying? We've never heard that before. That's what this ayah is referring to, the people talking to each other. And this became the big news of the day. عَنِ النَّبَعِ الْعَظِيمِ أَلَّذِيهُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. But then Allah responds and He says, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. No doubt, they will soon know. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. Then, absolutely no doubt, they will soon know. Soon know what? The reality of this day. Very soon they will understand it. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely shifts the topic and starts pointing out things that we can see. And also, if you're listening to one of the most incredible things in the last juz is the sound changes with the topic. In other surahs, it doesn't happen. Most of the surahs have a very consistent sound. All the way they end, they all are pretty consistent. But notice how here, يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَظِيمٌ مُخْتَلِفُونَ سَيَعْلَمُونَ سَيَعْلَمُونَ مِهَادًا أَوْتَادًا أَزْوَاجًا سُبَاتًا. You see how the sound changed, because the topic has changed as well. The focus has changed. This is one of the most incredible parts of the 30th juz. Okay, so Allah says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Have you not made the earth a resting place? وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا. And the mountains as أَوْتَاد. It says steaks, not the steaks that we eat the barbecue. Steak here is what's if you're planting, or if you're trying to plant a tent, then there's stakes that go into the ground that keep the tent up. That's how Allah describes the mountains. And the description is pertinent because the stake goes mostly in the ground and a little part of it sticks out of the ground. Most of the stake is in the ground. Or if you want to imagine a bolt or something, when you're bolting something or you're hammering a nail, most of the nail is inside the wall and a part of it sticks out. So that's how Allah describes the mountain, that most of it is actually under the earth. And what we see is only the little part that's sticking out, like a nail that's hammered into a wall. And this is a really phenomenal description of a mountain, because that's exactly how mountains are. They're very deep, and what we see on the surface is only what scratches the surface. Literally, what scratches the surface. And it's a really powerful description of a mountain. And the question is, how does he know this, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Right? He didn't study geology. He didn't have access to this knowledge. This is obviously a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most knowledgeable. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. We've created you in pairs. And I commented on this before as well, that our body and our soul is a pair. Our limbs are usually in pairs. Our DNA is in pairs. Our social life is a life where we spend it in pairs, right? So, and also groups. Azwaj is group as well. So we like to spend our lives as a group. You know, we have family, friends, that's a big group. We have our masjid, that's a big group. The community, that's a big group. That's how we spend life. خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. This is your life. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. When we sleep, that sleep is a means of rest. Sabt is the Sabbath, the day when nothing happens. Subat, similar root, or same root, is the time for rest and recuperation, for recharge. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. And the night is a clothing. We made the night as a clothing. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And we made the day for ma'ash. Ma'ash comes from a'ish. Aish is when person lives. So ma'ash is the thing you need to continue living. Livelihood, job, business, right? That is ma'ash. So the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for the livelihood because the sun is out, that's when business hours are in the day. That's usually how life works. Business hours are in the day, and at night you go home. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this system for us, and He says, the way we live is actually our system of life was designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our system of life was designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way He set up the day and the night. وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا, and on top of you, we created seven very strong. That's what Allah says, seven very strong. What are seven very strong? We know these are the seven skies. And their reality, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, we don't know. وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَاجًا, and in the first one, there is a burning lamp. That burning lamp is the sun. And the description is really powerful, because the sun is a lamp, if you think about it. It has nuclear fusion, nuclear fission. That's how it emits energy and light. That's how a lamp works, right? You pour in fuel and you burn it, and the lamp consumes the fuel and gives out light and energy. Likewise, the sun. The sun is consuming itself to produce energy and light and heat. As a really powerful description that Allah gives here, Sirajan wahaja. And remember, this is early Makkan surah. Early Makkan surah. وَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً فَجَّاجًا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He said, we send down from al-mu'sirat, the clouds, مَاءً فَجَّاجًا, water that pours down in buckets, right? Like heavy downfall, heavy rain. Why? لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا, so we could bring out حَبًّا. Hab is generally a grain. Something that's planted is hab. Habbah is a seed, right? So habban is things that we plant, and nabat are things that just grow. Things that were not planted by people, the trees that are growing here and there, vegetation that grows all over the place, grass that grows without any seeds being put into it, that is nabat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says both of these are brought out by the water. And subhanAllah, it's really fascinating if you look at the when spring comes, right, when the snow melts, all grass is yellow, right? It's dead, right? And you could water your plants as much as you want, they're still yellow. But the turn when it starts to become green is when the rain falls. The first rainfall of the spring is when you start to see the grass turn the green color. And the subsequent rainfalls do more and more of that, because the rainfall has a special effect on plants. It has more nutrients, by the way. If you study water, normal water, but through the pipe, and rainfall, that rainfall has more nutrients. That's why it's better for the grass. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always refers to that in the Quran. Always refers to that. And interestingly, rain is totally in His control. Totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. We cannot make rain happen. The only way we can make rain happen is if there's a cloud that's already filled with water, and it's called cloud seeding, and you put some spray something on that cloud, and the cloud starts to rain. But the formation of the cloud and the cloud being heavy enough to rain, we can't do any of that. We can't predict rain either. That's why you say probability of precipitation is 70%, 50%. 90%. It's totally in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. That's why He keeps referencing rain again and again and again. And it's a really powerful reference. وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافَ, and gardens that are intertwined with growth, right? So there's gardens that have lots of plants that are growing in them. All of this is done. Why? إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا, so we can be certain. Then the day of judgment is miqat. It is going to take place. Miqat comes from waqt, time. Miqat, that's an appointment. It's a time that's going to take place. It's not going to be changed. So you notice how the surah began. Surah began with, what are they're concerned about the akhirah. They don't really know how. What is this day of judgment? And Allah points out things that He says, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And then He says, just as certain you are of those things that are being there, the sky, the mountains, the sun, the rain, then be just as certain of the Day of Judgment as well. That's also going to happen in the same manner. So really, really powerful correlation that Allah is making here. And by the way, because you can see that everything, you know, lives and dies. If everything is living and dying, eventually this system will also die. It will run out of fuel. It will actually die. When that death happens for this system, that's the Day of Judgment. That's the Day of Judgment. Okay. Inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata yawma yunfaqu fi al-sur fata'tuna afwaja. The day when the horn is blown, and then you will come afwajan as a large army. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. And the sky will be opened up as if there was a door. Or as if there were doors or gateways. وَسُيِّدَتِ الْجِبَالِ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. Now these surahs provide a lot of very vivid imagery of the Day of Judgment. Really powerful imagery of how the Day of Judgment will happen. The sky will open up. سُيِّدَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. The mountains will be turned into a mirage. There will be, you know, you have mirages when you're driving on the highway, right? You see like there's some water. It seems like there's a puddle of water. You get there, there's nothing. That's how the mountains will seem. It'll be like a mirage. Inna jahannama kanat mirsada. And then he says, the point of this is that Jahannam is sitting there waiting. Mirsad. It's like a... Remember I said, Jahannam is described in Surah Mulk as a beast. And Jahannam has a life of its own. Jahannam is not just a flame that's burning. It's got a life of its own. It's a beast. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it, kanat mirsada, as if it's sitting there waiting to prey on its prey. Very, very powerful description. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. It's going to be for the transgressors a place of return. That's where they end up, that's where they belong. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابَ. They'll remain in there for a very long time. أَحْقَاب, you know, we see in this word used in another part of Quran. أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبَ in Surah Al-Kahf, right? حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبَ. حُقُب is basically like 80 years or something. That's generally what حُقُب means. أَحْقَاب is the plural of حُقُب, which means not just 80 or 800 or 8,000. It means a very long time. It means an eternity. They're going to be there for an eternity. لَا يَذُقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْدًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. They will not taste in it any coolness or sharaban, any drink. Any coolness, nothing that is will provide them comfort, because drinks also provide comfort. No coolness that provides comfort, and no drink that provides comfort. Bardan is comfort that you feel outside, right? When there's shade, you feel comfort outside, and when you drink something, it provides comfort inside. No comfort outside, no comfort inside. Illa hamiman wa ghasaqa. But they will actually get some drink, and that drink will be a scalding water. Hamiman ghassaqa. It's boiling. When the water reaches boiling point, that's hamiman. And jaza'an wifaqa. This is going to be an appropriate payback. So that even the water and the food in Jahannam is going to be punishment. It's not going to be nourishment. It's going to be punishment. SubhanAllah. Very, very powerful ayat. We ask Allah's protection from this kind of punishment. And he says, Allah, that jaza'un wifaqa, it's not that Allah wants to punish. It's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to see people in pain. That's not the case. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yad'u ila dar salam. Allah wants, it's calling to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Jannati adini mufattahatan lahumul abwab. Jannah's gates are open. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa. Oh Allah, you are the one who forgives. And you love to forgive. This is who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He is Ar-Rahman. He is the one whose mercy is overflowing. His love is overflowing. But at the same time, if somebody denies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all the evidence, somebody is not willing to accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite all the evidence, then this is an appropriate payback. Jaza'an wifaqa. Innahum kanu la yarjuna hisaba. No doubt they were not expecting that there's going to be any accountability, and they said our ayat are lies, kithaban, absolutely, emphatically, wa kulla shayin ahsaynahu kitaba, but the reality is everything we had written down and we had a record of. Fadhuqu, so taste, falan nazidakum illa adaba, so that we will not increase you now in anything except in punishment. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Meaning the punishment in hellfire will actually keep increasing. The punishment goes up. It's not like they get used to the punishment and it becomes easier. It actually gets worse and worse and worse. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such terrible punishment. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابًا. Sorry, the page is loading. I don't know what happened. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا. Oh, sorry. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. Where to go? لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا. ذَاكَ الْخَيْرُ. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. Okay, there we are. Alhamdulillah. No, absolutely no doubt the ones who have taqwa, for them is mafaz from fawz. Fawz is a victory. Fawz is, you know, fawzul azim, Allah says, great attainment, great achievement. They have mafaz, which means the place of achievement. You know, the ultimate achievement. The ones who have taqwa, who protected themselves from evil in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them from evil in the akhirah. The ones who protected their chastity, guard their chastity in the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them, you know, lots of pleasure of the, lots of pleasure of sexual nature in Jannah. Those who prevented themselves from falling into haram by watching what they eat and watching what they say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them lots of pleasure in Jannah of eating and of hearing beautiful things. As we see in this surah, حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ, they'll have gardens and grapevines. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ, and companions, wives, spouses that are of equal age, that you can enjoy their company, they can enjoy the physical and the emotional aspect of their company, but also them being equal age, meaning that you have a emotional connection, you enjoy their company, you share things that are common. Sometimes this happens when there's a large age gap between the couple, husband and wife. The husband, if he's a little older, the wife's younger. Husband is a bit more intellectually developed. The wife, if she's still young, she's not as developed. And there is this big discrepancy. So they're having a relation physically, but they don't have any emotional relationship. And sometimes it works the opposite way. The wife is really, the girl is very, you know, mature, and the guy is just a boy. Right? So they have a physical relation, but no emotional connection. But here, kawa'iba atraba is, it's both pleasures. First, kawa'ib is means some a lady who has very full-breasted, is the translation. No other way to say it, right? Her breasts are very prominent and very attractive. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this in the Quran. We're not, you know, we're not being vulgar here, because that's one of the most attractive parts of a woman. Her cleavage is the most attractive part, or one of the most attractive parts of a woman. So Allah says, kawa'ib, they will be like that. There is going to be intense physical attraction and intense physical pleasure in Jannah. But also atraban, similar age. So there's also this intense emotional pleasure of hanging out and talking and staying with that person. It's both. It's a complete love. Jannah is not just a, you know, that you get what you need and it's just a discharge of you know, hormones and that's it. Jannah is love, it's beauty, it's intense physical love and intense emotional love. It's so beautiful if you think about it. And the ones who protected themselves in this dunya from falling in the traps of kawa'ib, full-breasted women, but outside the bounds of marriage, of course. Right, that temptation, they protected themselves from that temptation in this dunya, this is what they get in the akhirah. Right? This is, you notice that about the descriptions in Jannah. What we protect ourselves from is what we get in Jannah. Like the Prophet said, the one who drinks you know, alcohol in this dunya will not taste it in the akhirah. He won't taste it in the akhirah. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا, and a full cup. A full cup is a cup of fine wine. And a full cup signifies luxury. It symbolizes luxury. It symbolizes, if you notice people who are drinking, they always have something in their cup when they're holding their cups. It symbolizes pleasure. It symbolizes, you know, a certain level of class and whatnot. But Allah says, كَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. This cup will be filled, you drink it, you put it back down, filled again. Constant luxury, constant pleasure. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. And like I said, even what we say and what we hear, nothing. No lying, no lagu, no random things that make no sense. All good talk. All good talk. جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. This is going to be a payment from your master. عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. A great, a generous gift that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن. He is the master of the skies and the earth and what's between them, الرحمن. He is the one whose mercy is overflowing. لا يملكون منه خطابا. They don't have any ability to even speak in front of him. To the point even that يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا. Even on the day, even the angels won't be able to speak on the day of judgment. Not even the angels, not even Jibreel. لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق. This is the true day. فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا. So he who wills should take a path to his master. If you want all these pleasures in dunya, then we need to work for them. We need to take this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want this intense enjoyment in the akhirah, this intense love in the akhirah, we want to enjoy that with particularly this sexual pleasure. If we want to enjoy the most intense form of it in the akhirah, we need to protect ourselves from it in the dunya. Not in outside, I'm saying outside the bounds of marriage. The type of pleasure that is out of bounds, we need to protect ourselves from it. Likewise, watching what we're saying, we want to enjoy the company of these great people in Jannah, we watch what we say, we watch what we listen to. All of this, al-jaza'u min jins al-amal. Inna andarnakum adhaban qadiba. Absolutely no doubt that we have warned you of a close punishment. Adhaban qadiba. It's not that far. Why is it not that far? Because when a person dies, that's when it begins. You know, the day of judgment for a person is their death. That is their day of judgment. But then of course there's the major day of judgment that comes when everybody's resurrected. So it's عذاب and قريبة, it's close. Our death, we don't even know when it's going to be. I was reading one of my friends who's in Dallas, and he said, I prayed janazah over three people just last night. SubhanAllah. These people didn't get to see Eid. They're expecting Eid, they're getting ready for it. He said, just pray janazah for them, three of them. You just never know, right? You never know. عَذَابًا قَدِيبًا يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. The day when a person will see what they have done in life. قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ, what their hands have put forth, meaning what they have done in life. They will see what they have done in life. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ, and the kafir will say, the one who spent his life denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, denying his existence, denying his authority, you know, fighting those who said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has authority and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be obeyed, denying the messenger, all these people would say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba, I wish I was dust. Well, there's a narration in a hadith that we find in hadith literature that we find that says that on the day of judgment, when the animals are resurrected and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is judging between the animals. So the animal that has a horn, who took advantage of the animal who doesn't have a horn, basically beat him up or something, or hurt him, then that there will be judgment between those two animals. And once all the animals, imagine how many billions of animals must have lived on earth, when all that judgment takes place between all the animals and every right is given to every person, then all of them will turn into dust. Because the animals are not going to Jannah or Jannah, right? There's no elephants in Jannah, right? Unless you want an elephant for yourself or something, I don't know. Then you can get an elephant in Jannah. But there's the animals themselves don't go to Jannah. They don't have a ruh. So now, they will turn into dust. That's it. Now they're over. Their job, their role is finished. And at that point, the person who is a kafir will look at that And he would say this, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. He says, I wish I was dust like them as well. I wish I would be dust like that as well. So that I don't have to go to hellfire. Very, very powerful words. Surah Nazi'at begins with an oath. We'll cover the oath, inshallah, towards the end. Okay? But we're going to go to the scene that Allah provides on the Day of Judgment. Because remember I said the first half juz almost are just scene after scene from the Day of Judgment. Before that, إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. Actually, before the ayah, before that, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. Has the story of Musa come to you? إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. When his master called him from the sacred valley of Tuwa. Now, one of the things that we have seen in our study of Quran is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents stories in Quran, but every single time they come, there's a new wrinkle. There's a new detail that is appropriate that wasn't mentioned before. So what's the new thing here? And let's look at the story. اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. This came before. Right? Go to Fir'aun. He has no doubt, you know, crossed all boundaries. فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. And say to him, هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. You know, won't you purify yourself? It's a very nice way of saying this. هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. Right? Don't you want to purify yourself? وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. And I will guide you to your master. He's your master too. فَتَخْشَى. So you fear him and you'll become closer to him. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. And he showed him the greatest sign. أَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. He showed him the greatest sign. There's many opinions of what this great sign is, or the greatest sign is. And this could be the staff. This could be when Musa alayhi salam overcame all the magicians. Allahu a'lam. But he saw 9 signs at least. One of them could be the greatest of them. Allahu a'lam. فَأَرَاهُ الْآيَةَ الْكُبْرَى. But despite that, فَكَذَّبَ وَعَصَى. This man called everything a lie. وَعَصَى. And he denied and he disobeyed. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ يَسْعَى. And then he turned back and he went striving, meaning he was very actively engaged in doing what? فَحَشَرَ فَنَادَى. He was calling people, gathering people, and he was saying, فَقَالَ أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. He said, I am your highest master. This is something we don't find in other parts of Quran. This statement of Fir'aun, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Now, here Fir'aun is worth mentioning. Fir'aun did not claim, obviously Fir'aun is not claiming that he is the creator of everybody, right? Because in other parts of Quran, we find, in, for example, in Surah Al-A'raf, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the people of Fir'aun saying to Fir'aun, أَتَذَرُ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ لِيُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ. Are you going to leave Musa and his people so they cause corruption in the earth? وَيَذَرَكَ وَآلِهَتَكَ. And that they leave you and your gods. So Fir'aun actually did worship gods. In his narrations that he worshipped the sun, right? He had other idols that he would worship. And the people of Egypt had idols that they would worship. So what does he mean when he says, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى? What he wants to say is, I am the supreme authority. I am your supreme authority. You can't do anything unless I approve. You can't even make up your mind unless I approve. Because accepting someone's authority is worship, is the essence of ubudiyya. When we lower ourselves to Allah, we accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's authority. When we put our face to the ground in sajda, we are accepting His authority, and that's a symbol of our acceptance. But so Fir'aun uses that, and he says, "Ana rabbukumul a'la." He says, "I am the biggest authority for you." And this is when a person, this is the thing that, this is basically the point where Fir'aun lost it, because before he would say, "I have authority, I have authority." Now when he's about to lose his authority, he starts saying, I am the only one who has authority, and no one else has any authority. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him who really has authority. فَأَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ نَكَالَ الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized him in a punishment that was meant to be an example for the ones who came afterwards and the ones who came before. Meaning the ones who were there and the ones who were to come afterwards. very, very powerful, that he thinks that he has ultimate authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us who has ultimate authority, and that is him. Inna fi dhalika la ibratan liman yakhsha. In this story, there is a great ibra. The translation says warning. Ibra is actually more than a warning. Ibra is, you see something and it reminds you. It gives you a reminder. Right? Abira, an-nahr, they would say that the river flows between two shores. It connects two shores. So, ibra is, it connects two realities. We see this, and subhanAllah, we're supposed to make some connections here. That Allah has the ultimate authority. And if we think that somebody else has ultimate authority besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what's happening. This is what's going to happen. إِنَّ بِذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِمَنْ يَخْشَى. For the one who has fear. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out, so you notice how something new was introduced in the surah that was previously not mentioned in the other stories of Musa and Fir'aun. And this is the case in the entirety of the Qur'an. And also, by the way, here, notice the story is brief. In early Meccan revelations, stories are brief. In later Meccan revelations, the stories are in detail. Surah Araf, Surah Al-Araf is one of the late Meccan surahs. And the story of Musa and Fir'aun goes on for about half a juz. Approximately half a juz. Here, it's about half a page. Right? And this is the usloob, this is the style of Qur'an. The early stories were brief. Later on, they were expanded upon and mentioned in a lot of detail. Allah says, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا. Are you more difficult to create, or the sky that we made it? رَفَعَ سَمْكَهَا فَسَوَّاهَا. And we raised its ceiling and proportioned it. وَأَغْطَشَ لَيْلَهَا وَأَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا. And we darkened its night and we brightened its day. Right? Because then the sky changes color. And what's really fascinating is the sky's color changes also based on where you are. If you're next to the ocean, the sky seems a little bluer or a little greener. If the ocean is a little, you know, there's something that's if a body of water has a reflection of green because of there's plants growing under it, or there's lots of vegetation around it, the sky has a greenish tinge to it. Doesn't mean the sky turns green, but it's got a tinge that changes. It's really beautiful. So he says, أَخْرَجَ ضُحَاهَا وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا. And the earth afterwards he has spread it. Dahaha. There's an incorrect understanding that the earth is like an egg or something. That's not correct, because the earth is not like an egg, number one. And number two, that's not what daha means. To make into an egg, no. Daha is to spread something. Right? So أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها. And it, he extracted from it its water and its vegetation. The water comes out of the earth, and also its vegetation comes out of it as well. Because all the bodies of water that we use are actually in the earth. The rain, it rains, and then all the other parts, whether it's lakes, whether it's rivers, whether it's, springs, whether it's wells, whether it is glaciers, they're all in the earth. They're all stored on the earth. And that's what Allah says, أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. And the mountains that he set firmly. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِيَنْعَامِكُمْ. All of this is done. This entire system is created. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِيَنْعَامِكُمْ. For you and your cattle. And even the cattle is for us, right? Because the cattle eats, the cattle grows, and then we eat the cattle. So really, all of this is done for you. All of this is done for you. And then there's a scene from the Day of Judgment. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةُ الْكُبْرَى. When the greatest calamity, طَامَّة, كُبْرَى, greatest calamity is going to come. يَوْمَ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ مَا سَعَى. That day everyone will remember what they did. Their life, their deeds will all be crystal clear in front of their eyes. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمُ لِمَنْ يَرَى. And hellfire will be brought forward in clarity. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ. They will come out clearly for the sake of, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمِ. Hellfire will be clearly brought out. فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى. And as for the one who طَغَى, he transgressed. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. And he preferred the life of this dunya. athara is to prefer this life. Athara is to prefer something over the other. Like we saw in Surah Al-Hashar, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The Sahaba, they were described, the Ansar, were described as preferring the Muhajirin Sahaba over their own selves. They would rather that they get money, they get land, they get good things over themselves. Right? This is an incredible trait to have. So athara is to prefer something over the other. This person prefers this life over the next. Their preoccupation is this life, not the next. What happens to this person? فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. The Jahim, the blazing hellfire, will be the place where he will be. Literally, ma'wa, awa, yu'wi, is to seek refuge and protection. Right? Awa, yu'wi, is to seek refuge and protection. For example, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آوَوْا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ. The ones who sheltered the Sahaba and then gave them protection. The Muhajirin are described as awa wa nasaru. So ma'wa is a place where you can hide. It's like, think of it as maybe a bunker or a place where a person will hide and they won't get killed, for example. Allah SWT calls hellfire their ma'wa. And this is, you know, it's a type of a mockery that Allah is making of these people. That they're going to try to find some shelter, and the only shelter they will find is Jahim, which is going to be the one that's going to consume them. SubhanAllah. Like, this is to capture the suffering that they'll be going through. They will be trying to look for a shelter, running around trying to find a place in Jahannam that will be a little less hot. But there's no place that's a little less hot. Every place is burning. Every place is consuming them. SubhanAllah. The emotional toll that takes on a person is unbelievable. And so on the flip side, always the Quran does this. Jahannam and then Jannah. أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. That's for the one who fears the standing in front of his Lord. Standing of his Lord. Meaning, standing in front of his Lord. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And he forbade his own self from desires. Two very, very important things. These, like, subhanAllah, these ayat are so deep. Like, everything we need in life is like in these ayat. SubhanAllah, I'm not even joking with you. Imam Shafi'i said that if all that was revealed in the Quran was Surah Al-Asr, you know, لَكَفَتِ النَّاسِ. It would be enough for the people. That's all they would need. So, look at this. خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. He's afraid of standing in front of his master. What does that imply? That implies that he is mindful in this dunya that he will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this person is praying and they're standing in front of Allah, that standing in front of Allah five times a day reminds them of what? Them standing in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment. That is this person. خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Now when a person fears that, that's all they fear. And they don't fear anything else. But this person is brave and is courageous. They won't have any fear in pointing out what's good and what's bad. Because they're not afraid of people, they're afraid of the standing in front of their master. مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. Everything is set in place when this is set in place. خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. If we can achieve this, life is set. When we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we imagine that this is how it's going to be when we're standing in front of Him. And then afraid of that, our salah is going to be so much better. If we're only afraid of standing in front of our master, then we're not afraid of anything else. We're not afraid to make changes. We're not afraid to make sacrifices. We're not afraid to tell our boss that, sorry, I have to go pray. Right? We're not afraid to tell somebody that, sorry, I can't do this. This is not part of my religion. We don't do this stuff. I really appreciate your gesture, and I really appreciate that you brought this to me, but we don't do this. You won't have any fear of people. Because we fear maqama rabbihi, standing in front of our master. This is incredible. This is the thing we can put in our life. Everything is set. Everything will be set. And then the consequence of this is naha nafsa anil hawa. This person prevents or forbids himself from al hawa, from desires. Do you remember I said al hawa means to fall? Mun najmi idha hawa, the star as it falls. Because a person's desires, you know, make him fall from a high standard to a low standard. So this person prevents himself from falling and tripping. It's incredible. And it shows that he's always watching himself. There's a struggle. Like the soul, the person wants to commit an evil. But this person is constantly telling himself, no, let's not watch this. No, let's not do this. No, let's not go here. There's a constant struggle. It's not like they have conquered themselves and they don't have any desire for evil. Or they don't have any desire for watching and doing bad things. That desire is there, but they prevent themselves from acting upon that desire. نَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. SubhanAllah, such a powerful description. It's like a battle their entire life. But they conquer them. They conquer their own self, their ego, their desires. And then Allah says, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. For these people, there is no doubt that paradise will be their ma'wa, the place where they will find refuge and protection and shelter. Right? Really powerful descriptions of Jahannam and Jannah. And the surah concludes with one really powerful ayah, which Allah says, they ask you, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. When is the day of judgment coming? And Allah says, فِيمَا أَنْتَ مِنْ ذِكْرَاهَا. What are you to tell them about the day of judgment? Right? You don't know this. It's only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ مُنْتَهَاهَا. It's all with Allah. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنْذِرُ مَنْ يَخْشَاهَا. You're just a warner. Just a warner for the one who fears that day. And then Allah says something really stark. كَأَنَّهُمْ يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَهَا. The day when they see it, as it will be as if لَمْ يَلْبَثُوا إِلَّا سَاعَةً إِلَّا عَشِيَّةً أَوْ ضُحَاهَا. It would be as if their entire life was an afternoon or a morning. You know, when we look back, like I look back, say, at the last, 10 years, and I'm like, SubhanAllah, where did the last 10 years go? What did I do? You know, what happened? Or the last 5 years? I'm like, SubhanAllah, I'm talking to my wife sometimes, and we're like, oh, which year was, our daughter born? We kind of forget the days, the dates. You know, is it 2012 or is it 2013? Well, it's got to be 2012. Right, even things like that. When did I start university? Was it 2010 or 2009? I mean, you forget these dates. Those are significant dates in a person's life. But it's just a blur. The last 10 years, the last 5 years, they seem like a blur. And the longer a person lives, the larger this blur seems. The larger this blur seems. I am only, I'm only 29, so I don't have a really large blur. But the larger a person lives, the larger that blur becomes. So on the day of judgment, the entire life will just be a blur. It will just be like, it was a day, half a day, an evening, a morning, that's all. SubhanAllah, really, really incredible how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the reality of this life. The reality of this life. Surah Abasa, all these next surahs, like I said, until the half-juz, almost the half-juz are dealing with scenes of the Day of Judgment. Surah Abasa in particular is extremely interesting because there was a very small slip from the Prophet ﷺ. And in reality, you can make an argument that it wasn't even his fault ﷺ. You can truly, genuinely make an argument he wasn't even wrong. Because he ﷺ was talking to people, and if I'm talking to people and someone just starts coming and starts to interrupt me, right? I'm not at fault, it's their fault. You see, if we're having a conversation and someone just comes in and starts yelling at me or starts asking me a question, not yelling at me, but starts asking me a question or starts speaking to me, and I frown at them, it's not my fault, it's their fault, isn't it? And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did. He was talking to not anybody, he was talking to the leaders of Quraysh. And it seemed like after a very long time, these people actually started taking him seriously. They were actually listening to what he had to say, ﷺ. So he was really into it because he was like, you know what? Maybe this is the break. Maybe this is the point that, the time where the scales tip in the favor of Iman and they accept Islam. And the Prophet's preoccupation was, if I can get a few of the leaders to accept Islam, then their entire tribes will accept Islam. And then we can start moving forward and start taking this cause to other people. That was what he wanted to do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? You notice the moment he got the first chance after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, what did he do? Does anybody know? The first thing he did after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The letters. Jazakallah khair. Abdullah. Kisra and Qaisar and the king of Habasha and Egypt. He sent out letters to all the people everywhere. He'd been waiting to do that for about 20 years, Allah sallam. The first chance he got, he did that. So now he's really, you know, he'll be into that conversation. And in walks the great Sahabi, Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, radiallahu anhu, who was the second muazzin after Bilal. He was the second muazzin, and he was a cousin of Khadija, radiallahu anha, and he was also a blind person. So clearly, he couldn't see what was going on, but he could have heard, right? I mean, there's no doubt he would have heard. But he came and he started asking the Prophet ﷺ, you know, something about the Akhirah, some question. And the Prophet ﷺ, as any person would do, he looked at that and he just turned away and he frowned a little bit. But even that little frown and that turning away was not something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked. Because it's not about the quantity, it's about the quality. It's not about how many people accepted Islam, it's about the quality. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum was quality. And these people were not quality. And the Prophet ﷺ, just for a moment even, a natural human reaction, because he wanted the quantity, was not acceptable in the eyes of Allah. So he says, "Abasa wa tawalla." The Prophet frowned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and turned away. And ja'ahu al-a'ma, that came to him. Al-a'ma, the blind man, came to him. Wa ma yudrika la'allahu yazzakka. And what makes you think? What makes you realize? La'allahu yazzakka. Maybe he has purified himself. Maybe he is the quality that you're looking for. Right? Aw yadhakkaru fatanfa'u dhikra. And he is already, you know, reminded. So when you tell him something that benefits him, that's useful for him. أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْنَى فَأَنْتَ لَهُ تَصَدَّى. As for the one who is, you know, doesn't want to listen to you, استغنى, he said he couldn't care less about you, that's the one you're giving attention to. وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا يَزَّكَّى. And it's not your job that he chooses to be purified. That's his choice, that's not your job. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسَعَى. And that's the one who comes to you running, seeking, thirsty. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. And he fears. فَأَنْتَ عَلْأَنْهُ تَلَهَى. And then you treat him, تَلَهَى, from لَهُ, like a distraction, like worthless. Not worthless, but like a distraction, something that's not as valuable. فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. You are treating him like that. It's not about who that person is. It's not about how many they are. It's about the quality. About the quality. Right? One of my friends told me, who was studying in Saudi. He studied in King Saud. In fact, he was the one who did the lecture, Sheikh Abdul Wahab, alhamdulillah, that day. So he was telling me, Sheikh Abdul Wahab, that when Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, when he started off, he was obviously not well known. And Sheikh Ibn Baz was also blind, rahimahullah. He couldn't see. So he would sometimes sit in a masjid and give a dars, and there would be nobody in the masjid. There would be nobody. He would be talking on the speaker by himself, to himself, like literally. And the entire masjid is empty. SubhanAllah, it's not about the numbers, right? It's about the quality. It's about being sincere. It's about just going forward and doing what you have to do. And SubhanAllah, when he passed away, how many people were at his durus? How many people were listening to what he had to say? And how many people were at his janazah? I remember one of our teachers was saying that when Sheikh Ibn Baz died, he started crying. And his wife was like, "Why are you crying?" He says, "Sheikh Ibn Baz died." So she's like, "So what? He died." Right? I mean, not in the sense of he died, so what? But she's like, "Why are you crying so much? It's not like your father died." It's like, I feel that same pain as if my father or my uncle had died. That was the amount of love and attachment people had to him. And look at how he started. There was nobody in the masjid when he was giving dars. Right? So it's not about the quantity, it's always about the quality. And it's always about the people who are quality people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them further and further. Like Abdullah ibn Ummi Maktum, radiallahu anhu, he became a great Sahabi and many, many virtues that he had. But the thing to notice, by the way, here is the Prophet, you know, honestly, you can make an argument, and I already did, that he wasn't even wrong. Right? He didn't even make a mistake, it was a human reaction. Right? But even that, Allah says, no, you have to be held to a higher moral standard, a higher ethical standard, because you are the Messenger of Allah. For you, you know, even a small slip is a slip. It's a really, really incredible surah. Now, this surah also has the same mentioning of the beautiful things that Allah has created for people, right? In fact, it says, فَلْيَنْظُرَ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ. Then let people look at their food. That's why people take pictures of their food and post it on Instagram, right? They're looking at their food at all times, and they want others to look at their food too. أَنَّ صَبَبْنَا الْمَاءَ صَبًّا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the water, talks about the earth, etc., etc., etc. And then He says the same thing, مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِيَنَعَامِكُمْ. All of this is مَتَاعًا. Tools, enjoyment, it's for you and your cattle. And like I said, cattle is also for us. So really, everything is for you. And these two surahs are very similar in this. The similar motif, that there's a great messenger mentioned in both of them, Musa and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there is a similar description of stuff that goes around in the earth that Allah has created for us. مَتَاعًا لَكُمْ وَلِيَنْعَامِكُمْ. Exactly the same ayah in both surahs. And then, almost the same. فَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. There, جَاءَتِ الطَّامَّةِ الْكُبْرَى. Here, جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ. Description of the Day of Judgment. There, we saw in Surah Al-Nazi'at, right? The characteristics of the person who goes to hellfire. And the characteristics of the person who goes to Jannah. Here, we'll see what they'll be doing when this happens. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. The day when a person will flee from his brother. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. From his mother and father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. From his wife and children. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ. Everybody will be preoccupied with their own self. With their own self. You see, that talked, the surah Al-Nazi'at talked about the inside, what a person is made of, who's going to Jahannam and who's going to Jannah. Surah Abasa talks about the outside, what they'll be doing, right? And their faces. وَجُوهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ. That day, some days, faces will be bright. The people go to Jannah. ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. They'll be laughing and they'll be enjoying. And you see that, for example, when people are receiving their degrees, right? What happens? That's the day when وَجُوهِ يَوْمَئِذٍ مُسْفِرَةٌ ضَاحِكَةٌ مُسْتَبْشِرَةٌ. If you go to any graduation ceremony, any convocation, people are laughing, they're enjoying, they're posing, right? This is what happens when you have achieved something, right? وَوَجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرًا. And at the same time, you can see the faces of those who are going to Jahannam. غَبَرًا. Upon them is dust. غُبَار. تَرْحَقُهَا قَتَرًا. And blackness will cover them. Not that there will be, this is a, well, ya'adhu billah, this is not a racist statement. It means that when the Arabs will say something is darkened, that means that their emotion, that sadness on their face becomes apparent. It's not about the color of the skin, it's the emotion that shows on a person's face. So, tarhaquha qatara is that the sadness will be so overwhelming that it would seem as if there is no color, no life left in their face. This is even before they go to Jahannam. All life is zapped out of their faces as if there's nothing left for them. And Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَفَرَ الْفَجَرَ. They are the ones who are kafara, who have defiantly been disbelievers, sorry, and al-fajara, they are defiantly disobedient. Kafara, kufr is inside, right? It's aqidah. Right? And fujur is outside, the things that people do, right? So kafara al-fajr, their insides are evil and their outsides are evil, and both of these is what puts them in Jahannam. So really beautiful correlation that we see between Surah An-Nazi'at and Surah Abasa, Surah Takwir and Surah Al-Infitar right after also have a very similar motif. You will notice they begin in the same way. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ فَطَرَتْ. Right? It describes the things that happen on the Day of Judgment. I'm going to quickly just skim over it and move on, because we want to get towards the end a little bit as well. إذا الشمس كبرت, when the sun is, you know, basically extinguished and wrapped, it's put out, right? كورة is to, you know, make something round, to cover something up. So it is wrapped up. And for 13 ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides when this happens, when this happens, when this happens, when this happens. Multiple types of things. Nujum, inkadarat, the sun and the stars, the jibal, the mountains on the earth, the beasts on earth like camels and wuhush, wuhushirat, the water, just the oceans on the earth. See, it goes from like top to bottom, right? It goes from sun and stars, mountains a little bigger, then beasts, then into ocean that's, you know, sea, you know, at the level of the earth. Then talks about the people. وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. When the body and soul are brought back together. نُفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ. And when the ma'uda, the girl who was killed, baby girl, infant who was killed, سُئِلَتْ, she will be questioned, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. What was the reason? What was the sin that you committed for which you were killed? Alright? So, of course, there was no sin. The questioning here is a symbolic questioning. It's a questioning for giving justice. Because the killer, there is nothing that he can be questioned about. There's no questions asked of the killer. The killer just gets punishment. It's the one who's killed is asked, what did you do? To bring about the innocence completely, you know, to in full light. It's really powerful, really beautiful. And all these things are mentioned, and Allah says, what happens when all of this is done? عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Everyone or a person will know مَا أَحْضَرَتْ, what it brought with it. Meaning, its deeds. What is it that they did in life? Everyone will know what they're made of. You know, it says that, you know, the phrase that, you know, we'll see what you're made of, right? That's exactly what this is. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. A person will know what they're made of on that day. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ الْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسَّسِ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسِ. Another beautiful oath that Allah takes here. The oath is, we don't have time to deconstruct it, it's really long, but all of it is something that you can see. الْخُنَّسِ, the stars. جَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ is a description of how they are running in their courses. And we know the stars have an orbit as well. We know this as a fact today. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ. And then go below the stars, the night, as it, you know, closes, it's about to, you know, comes in around this time. لَيْلِ إِذَا عَسْعَسْ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ. And the morning, when it's got this freshness, if you go for an early morning run, there's a real freshness in the air. It's crisp air. وَاللَّيْلِ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ. Literally as if it's breathing. All of these things are things we can see, right? Just like those are things that we can see and we can feel them. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This is a statement of a powerful, mighty messenger. Who is this powerful, mighty messenger? بِقُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ. This is Jibreel. Description of Jibreel. This is Quran is brought by Jibreel. And وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. The second part of what's the argument that's been strengthened, that your friend, your buddy, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has not gone crazy. He has not lost his mind. Just like you can see all these things and you can feel them, you can feel the mourning, you should also feel that this is, man is not crazy. He's never lied in his life. He's the most beloved person that you know, that you knew of. Lineage-wise, and character-wise. So how can this be, how can you claim him to be a liar? How can you claim him to have lost his mind? It doesn't make any sense. وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. It is not the case. And this is not the statement وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. This is not a made-up statement by shaytan. It's not something the Prophet ﷺ is afflicted by. Okay, so Surah Al-Kuwirat, Suratul Kuwirat, basically Surat At-Takwir, sorry, ties this thing together. Things you can see and feel should also allow you to be certain about the revelation of the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ, studying his life, would give us an idea of what kind of a person he was, and how he cannot be making this stuff up, how he cannot be a liar, his character, his limitations as well, the fact that he didn't know how to read and write. All this put together should tell us that this is definitely not something that he made. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger. Surah Infitar is similar. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. And almost the same. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخْرَتْ. There was عَلِمَتْ نَفْسُمْ مَا أَحْضَرَتْ. Here we have عَلِمَتْ نَفْسُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخْرَتْ. Every person will know what they have, you know, done well and what they have left behind. What they did good and what they did bad. Everyone will know when this happens, the good that they've done and the bad that they've done. What is it, the description of the Day of Judgment? When the sky breaks apart and the stars fall scattering. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. And when the seas are fujirat, they start to erupt. And this is a really incredible description. I was listening to a lecture and I was on this and I was like, this is so powerful, subhanAllah. That fujirat is for the, you know, the water, you know, it's the seas are erupting. Right? How does that happen? How can the sea erupt? And we know that water is made up of two parts, hydrogen and one part, oxygen, right? H2O. So when you were to separate them by force, it actually causes a reaction. Hydrogen is very volatile. So it actually has a combustion and it actually sparks and breaks up. That's why you don't have cars that are fueled by water, because hydrogen is very volatile. Your car might blow up if you put water in it, and you know, if it's fueled by water and the water is being, you know, combusted and used for energy, it's so volatile your car might blow up. So here it's an incredible description, because the atoms will be the molecules will be separated and the atoms will be separated, and as they're being separated there is this reaction. And what's the reaction? It combusts. فَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ فُجِّرَتْ. Literally, they will be bursting. The seas will be bursting. It's such a powerful description. It's such an incredible description. وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ. And when the graves are all scattered, all that's in it is brought out. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخْرَتْ. Everyone will know what they had done good and what they had done bad. We're going to move on actually to Surah Al-Mutaffifin. These surahs, inshallah, like I said, we'll be going through them again throughout the course of the year, inshallah, one by one, with a bit more detail, spending a bit more time. But here we want to get through quickly, touch, inshallah, as many of the surahs as possible, particularly the ends. Surah Al-Mutaffifin is very interesting. Makkan surah, early Makkan surah. Waylun lil-mutaffifin. It says, woe to those who give less. Now, I don't know what woe means. But wail is a threat of punishment. Threat of punishment in hellfire. The kind of punishment where a person is burned physically and is tortured emotionally. That's what wail is. Okay? So Allah says, for the ones who are ripping people off in business, there is wail. There's a threat of that kind of punishment. What are these people? أَلَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. That these are the ones who, when they are taking measure from people, yastawfun, they take full. وَإِذَا كَالُوهُمْ أَوْ وَزَنُوهُمْ يُخْسِرُونَ. But when they are giving measure, or they are weighing something, then they are يُخْسِرُونَ, they don't give full measure. Meaning, when they are purchasing, they want the full quality, the full quantity. But when they are selling, they rip off a little bit, it's not exactly as much as should be given. Cheaters. Businessmen who are not honest. When they sell a product, the product has got some deficiency. And when they're buying it, they want to make sure that it is perfect and full and no flaws in it whatsoever. These people, Allah says, أَلَا يَظُنُّ أُولَٰئِكَ أَنَّهُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ لِيَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Don't they realize that they will be resurrected for a great day, when people will be standing in front of the master of all worlds, Rabbil Alameen. Remember I said the standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the critical thing. If we could achieve that, that fixes our life. If we can conceptualize, internalize the idea that we will be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that solves our problems in its entirety. Also the problem of people who are cheaters in business, their problem is solved through this. Now, after this Allah says, كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْفُجَّارِ لَفِي سِجِّينَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سِجِّينَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ. The record of the people who are sinners is in a sijjin. If it's Zakhna Khair in the back, if you could please keep it down. Barakallahu feekum. Okay. The Kitab al-Fujjar, there is, you notice there in this surah we'll have Kitab al-Fujjar and Kitab al-Abrar. Kalla inna Kitab al-Abrari lafi illiyin. Contrast. The people who are criminals and the people who are righteous. Assalamu alaikum, brother in the back. Brother in the back. Brothers in the back. If I could, yes. If you want to talk, you can please go outside. I appreciate that. It's very distracting. Okay? Jazakumullah khairan. I don't want to call anybody out and embarrass anybody by putting them on the spot, but please, if you can, I appreciate that. Jazakumullah khairan. We only have half an hour left, inshallah, and we'll be done. Okay? Kalla inna kitab al-fujjari lafi sijjin and kalla inna kitab al-abrari lafi illiyin. That's a contrast between the ones who are evil people and the ones who are good people. The context is the people who are doing business, right? The people who are doing business. It's as if Allah is implying the ones who are evil in their business practices, who don't have ethics and morality in their business practices, they are who? They are al-fujjar. It doesn't matter what they do inside the masjid. Doesn't matter how many salahs they are praying and how much fasting they are doing. If they are ripping people off and they're dishonest in their business, they're fujjar. And the ones who are honest in their business, they are al-abrar. That's why there's a prophet, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he says, al-attajir, al-saduq, al-ameen, ma'an nabiyyina, wa-siddiqina, wa-shuhada'i, wa-salihin. That the true, trustworthy businessman is going to be with the prophets, the martyrs, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. The highest company. Just a man who does business ethically and does not lie in his business. That is the rank that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this person. Excuse me. It's a very powerful implication here. Because what happens is when people are ripping other people off in business, they're like, it's business. Business is business. Right? We'll take care of our deen and our akhirah in the masjid, but outside the masjid, it's business as usual. But this is not the case in Islam. Al-Bayhaqi was asked, why don't you write a book on akhlaq? Why don't you write a book on akhlaq? He said, I wrote a book on akhlaq already. He's like, what's the book on akhlaq that you wrote? He said, it's the Kitab al-Buyur, the book of business. So that's my book of akhlaq. That's your judge of akhlaq. Your manners are judged when you're doing business. That's how people know your what you're made of. Subhanallah. It's really powerful. These ayat are strong ayat. Something you have to think about as a community at large and as people individually. Now, this surah also has a very nice motif in which Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. The people who were criminals, they used to laugh at the believers. And this is something, this is very common, that people now particularly will post a video of somebody doing something, like they're devoting themselves to worship, and there is a lot of mockery on social media on that. And there's a lot of comments in that video where people are making fun of them, right? يَضْحَكُونَ وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And they would give them condescending looks as they're passing them by. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. And when they will go back to home, they will go back, you know, very proud of themselves, very happy, jesting and making fun of these people. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. And when they saw them, or when they see them rather, they say that these are the ones who've lost their way. Right? I told you I had a friend who's doing, who mashallah has done his PhD in physics in the U of T. And mashallah, I think he's probably the only Muslim guy in the entire department of physics, in higher studies, of course. In undergrad, there's lots of Muslim people, mashallah. But you know, he says that it's almost like it's inconceivable. So it's inconceivable for the supervisors and the higher ups in that department that this man who's so intelligent and so he's such a great researcher goes and prays. They just can't understand that. Because they're like, how could you do this? It's like, you know, it's got no reality and this and that. And of course, mashallah, this guy is an awesome person every way, so he's able to, you know, explain to them what Islam is. But this idea, إِذَا رَأُوهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَىٰ إِلَّا ضَالُّونَ. Anybody who's intellectual and who's, you know, very smart would think that anybody who's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing all these sacrifices, waking up in the middle of night to eat and then pray, and staying up late till to pray, and not, you know, watching certain things and not eating certain things and staying away from certain business practices. All these things are what? I mean, what are you doing this for? Inna ha'ulai la dhalun. This is what the common perception is of the ones who are believers. But Allah says, wama ursidu alayhim hafidhin. That's not their job. They weren't sent to guard over them. So, al jaza'u min jins al amal. The payment is given in due measure. From the same type of payback is given. فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. This day, on the day of judgment, the believers will be laughing at the disbelievers. Once they see that the believers have gotten their book in their right hand, and they are celebrating, and the others, when they get their book in the left hand, and their face has, you know, life is sucked out of their face. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَلَيْهَا غَبَرًا. Right? Then the believers will be laughing at them. He said, remember you laughed at us? Today we laugh at you. This is a very, very powerful statement. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ. They'll be sitting on couches and looking at this and having a good time. هَلْ ثُوبِ وَالْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And it's not that Allah is, you know, unjust or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to humiliate people. This is, again, الْجَزَاءُ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ. These are the people who did it to the believers. And today it will be done to them. هَلْ ثُوِي وَالْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Surah Al-Inshiqaq has a similar beginning. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت, as the last two surahs, when the sky has been split open. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. And it has, you know, responded to its Lord. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ. And when the earth has been extended. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. Expanded meaning it's flattened out. أَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. All the things that are in it are thrown out. That means the people are no longer inside the earth, buried alive. Buried. They're outside alive. All the valuables that the earth had, there's a narration where all the gold that's inside the earth will throw out on the day of judgment. And people will be told, go take the gold now. You want gold? Now go take your gold. You want this life of dunya? Now go and see what this gold does for you. أَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. It will be completely empty of it. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Responding to its Lord. And that is the obligation that it had. Now, this surah, similar beginning. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّكَ يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. Similar to يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ. We kind of skipped that ayah, but that's okay. The scene of the Day of Judgment here is very similar to Surah Haqqa. The one who's given the book in the right hand and the one who's given the book in the left hand. The little difference here is, you know, you notice the one who's given the book in his right hand is يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. There we saw his reaction. What's going to happen to him? هَا أُمُقْرَوْ كِتَابِيَ. Here, read my book. And I knew I was going to meet my judgment. And, you know, I was certain that I was going to stand in front of my Lord, and today I have this. Here Allah describes how he will be, because when he gets his book, there's still a record that he has to go through. There's an accountability that he has to go through. So the accountability is going to be يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Very quick accountability. Okay, you were born. Okay, then you did this. Okay, alhamdulillah, you prayed. Good job. Alhamdulillah, you did hajj. Good job. Alright, go ahead. Jannah is yours. Right, very quick, حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. No details, because the detail, anybody whose حِسَاب gets long, that's basically a sign that their punishment is going to be, like they're in trouble. حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا means that they're not in trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala skims over their mistakes and lets them go through, subhanAllah. It's like if you're passing through the airport, right? And you know, a lot of the, mashallah, people who are Muslim get pulled over to the side and be like, we need to have a conversation with you, right? But hisaba yasira is you go through the machine and you just pick up your bag and you walk out, alhamdulillah, right? And that's a great feeling. You're like, alhamdulillah, nothing happened to me, right? That is that feeling, hisaba yasira, just quickly passing by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the dua that the Prophet used to make, and we should make as well, that Allahumma hasibna hisaba yasira, O Allah, take us to account with a very quick, very light hisab. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. So this person will be really happy. As for the one, amma man utiya kitabahu wara'a dhahri, he is given the book behind his back. Now here's a little wrinkle that wasn't in Surah Haqqa. In Surah Haqqa, we are told he's given the book in his left hand, bishimalihi, right? Here we said he's given the book in his behind his back. Now this person probably knows that he's getting his book in his left hand, either because he knows Quran, or he's seen other people get their book in their left hand. So what he does is that he puts his left hand behind his back, so that he doesn't get the book in the left hand. But Allah says he still gets it in his left hand behind his back. Utiya kitabahu wara'a dhahri. He's trying to, you know, find a loophole here. There's no loopholes that day. وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا. When he finally gets it, يَدْعُو ثُبُورًا, he will cry out for destruction. He would wish he wasn't even alive, right? So subhanAllah, here again is in this surah, we find this in surah Inshiqaq, the same theme. This is basically that half, that point where all the surahs that dealt with a scene from the Day of Judgment are finished. We find scattered scenes of Day of Judgment in the rest of the surah as well, in the rest of the juz as well, but not in every surah like we've seen until this point. Now, Surah Al-Buruj is a really has a deep background. If you look at the early stages of the Prophet ﷺ's Nubuwwah, he's having difficulty, no one's accepting him. And this story is basically the story of the young boy who was a Christian, and the story is long, and it really is that he was persecuted because he was a Christian, and then everybody believed in him. There was a tyrant king who didn't want people to believe in the message of Isa alayhi salam, and this boy kind of, you know, wouldn't be killed by this king. He wasn't able to kill him, so he said to this the boy proposed to the king, then why don't you do this? You put me in front of the people, call everybody, and say, in the name of the Lord of the boy, and then shoot an arrow at me, and then you'll kill me. Right? There was like four attempted assassinations that didn't go through previously. And he does this, and this boy dies. And as soon as this happens, everybody around who was watching said, you know, we believe in the master of the boy. We believe in the Lord of the boy. So the king's biggest fears actually came true. Everybody accepted the message, while he wanted nobody to accept it. So what this king did, this tyrant, is قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ النَّارِ ذَاتِ الْوَقُودِ إِذْ هُمْ عَلَيْهَا قُعُودٌ. He dug up ditches and he lighted fires in those ditches, and basically the entire community was thrown in those ditches, burned alive and then buried over, subhanAllah. Imagine, this is a genocide that this person committed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this story here is implying that from the dunya perspective, it looks like the king won and those people lost. Yes or no? Right? They got eliminated, the king's still alive. But from the akhirah perspective, the people won and the king lost. And this is what this surah is conveying, the message to the Prophet ﷺ, that it looks like you're losing now. It may not look like you're going to win, but in the Akhirah, you definitely won. And this is a message for all believers afterwards as well. Sometimes we see our brothers and sisters, they're being killed, and it seems like, you know, that's it, they've lost, right? And from a dunya perspective, they have lost, but from the Akhirah perspective, things are different. And this is something the Surah Buruj mentions. Surah At-Tariq also has a scene from the Day of Judgment, but it tries to connect our reality, the origins of human beings, with the reality of the hereafter. The origins of our creation to our resurrection. So for example, he says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقٍ. People should look at what they were created from. خُلِقَ مِنْ مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ. They were created from مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ, from a bursting, or a water that was bursting, meaning it was ejected, it was ejaculation from the Father. يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. It comes between the backbone and the ribs. Now of course, we know that the origin of it is not from the backbone. The actual place where it's made is not the backbone and the rib, but this is where the blood is supplied to. If you study the anatomy of a human being, the blood that is supplied to the testicles of the man comes from this part. And that's what causes the ejaculation, and that's what causes the sperm to be fertilized in the mother's womb. Now I know I'm using all these terms and we're like, oh, but this is what the Quran is explaining, right? يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. It's being very clear. خُلِقَ مِنْ مَاءٍ دَافِقٍ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ الصُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ. Now, the thing to understand here is, look at your humble origins. That is your humble origin. You were a drop of sperm that was, it was in something even that a person does it in private. And no one, you know, sees what they're doing. And if it was on a person's clothes, it's a pretty embarrassing thing. So that's your humble origins. Don't forget your humble origins. Don't let your ego get too big that you forget your origins. Also, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجِعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. If Allah could create a person from a drop of sperm, then you don't think He can recreate them and resurrect them in the hereafter? إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجِعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. A drop of sperm is so small, it's so insignificant. There's millions of them, right? That are, you know, ejecting at a point. If Allah could create from that one small thing a full-blown human being, you don't think Allah can recreate a human being and resurrect a human being? That's beyond Him, right? That's the point. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجِعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. And He says, يَوْمَ تُبِلَ السَّرَائِرِ. This is done in hidden, right? This whole action takes place while people are hidden. But on the day, تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ, all the secrets will be out. Nothing will be a secret. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. There will be no power, no helper for anybody. See how beautifully Allah connects it? This thing happened, you were conceived in private. When you are brought out for a resurrection, all secrets will be out, no privacy. تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. No one's going to have any power or any helper. Surah Al-A'la and Surah Al-Ghashiyah are very similar surahs. The Prophet ﷺ had a habit of reading these two surahs in Jumu'ah and on the Eid Salah. He would do that. And the reasons are pretty clear, because these surahs serve as a great reminder. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. In Surah Al-Ghashiyah, we find the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Remind, you're just a reminder. These surahs are the essences of a reminder. And it mentions, you know what, these surahs are very deep. I'm actually going to skip them because we'll keep them for our study later on. These are very powerful surahs. But briefly, just I'll comment on the first ayah. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. You know, glorify the name of your Lord, the most exalted. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Right? These three ayahs, that use the name of your master to glorify Him, is the Most High, the one who created. It's like He created the bare bones, or if you think about it from a building perspective, He created the structure, فَسَوَّى, then He finished the structure, you know, the decor inside, the finishing of the walls, that will be فَسَوَّى. وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. And He's the one who قَدَّرَ, appointed for everybody their capabilities. Gave everybody their particular capabilities. فَهَدَى, and gave guidance. Everybody was given guidance. Every creation of Allah was given guidance. For example, if you put a really nice fruit in front of a lion, the lion's not going to eat it. He wants meat, right? So there is this jibiliyah, hidayah jibiliyah, like a natural guidance. Carnivores will eat meat, herbivores will eat herbs, humans will eat both, right? But even as a human being, you would when you're presented with food, you pick, you know, a certain type of it. Preference. That's hidayah jibiliya. Then on top of that is hidayah, that is ilham, that we'll come to in the next surahs, inshallah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the ability for a person to distinguish between good and bad. That is given to every person. And then up on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends revelation, and that is the hidayah that He gives. That is hidayatul irshad, right? The through scripture, through revelation. So all of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, and at the end of it He says that this is all done as a reminder, so you can remember what your reality is. He says at the end of it, وَلْتُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Despite all this, you prefer the next life. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But the hereafter is better and longer lasting. It's longer lasting. There is more pleasure in it. There is longer pleasure in it. But we prefer immediate pleasure over the lasting pleasure, unfortunately. I'm going to go through just towards the very end here, because we want to there's a lot of, like, you know, all these surahs are basically like a full, like, 2 hour discussion at least, right? So we obviously don't have too much time to get into them, but what I'll point out is a little bit about the oaths in the Quran now. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the oaths in the Quran. Let's take, for example, Surah Asr or Surah Ghashiyah. Not Surah Ghashiyah, sorry. Let's take Surah At-Teen as a example first. Okay. So At-Teen wa Zaytun wa Tur Sinin wa Hadha Al-Balad Al-Amin. Laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqwim. Right. Remember, I said there's two parts to an oath. There's an oath, and there's an argument that is strengthened by the oath. And what the Quran does, which is an amazing part of the Quran, which is miraculous, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects the oath to the argument that He's making, that He's strengthening. Okay, so what is the oath here? At-Teen wa Zaytun. He takes an oath by At-Teen, which is the fig, Az-Zaytun, which is olive, wa Tur Sinin, and the Mount of Sinai, wa Hadha Al-Balad Al-Amin, and this peaceful city. Okay, how many things we saw so far? We saw four things: At-Teen, Zaytun, Tur Sinin, Hadha Al-Balad Al-Amin, this peaceful city. Okay, so that's the oath. And what is the thing that Allah uses to strengthen? What's the argument that's been strengthened? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Absolutely no doubt about it, that we have created human beings in the best form, in the best way. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. But then we have, you know, returned him to the lowest of the low. Because human beings could be worse than animals sometimes. The way they treat each other, the history is provides testimony of that. But intrinsically, there's good in everybody. Everybody has good in them intrinsically. I was watching this commercial where they're showing like this little baby, and this little caption: he's the one who, you know, swears at you when he cuts you, and it's in the baby's picture, and he's the one who is, who abuses his parents, and, you know, all these bad things are mentioned. But there's pictures of babies and, you know, small clips of little babies that are sitting there and playing with their toys. And then the punchline is that everybody was born good. Nobody was born a bad person, right? And there was some philanthropy that someone was doing. I don't remember the organization that was running these ads. But the point was that was a pretty interesting thing, that nobody is born bad. Nobody is born a liar. Nobody is born a murderer. Or nobody is born a cheater. People are born with goodness, because Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Absolutely no doubt, we have created human beings in the best way. Taqweem is their actual physical creation, and their internals as well. Both of them. There is intrinsic good in people, not intrinsic bad in people. This is a very important thing that we have to understand. If a person is acting badly in dunya right now, we see something, somebody who's not doing a good job, they're having problems, you know, we can't blame their DNA for it. They weren't born bad. Circumstances made them bad, or they chose to be bad because of certain situations. But intrinsically, everybody was born with goodness. Like the Prophet said, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child is born on al-fitra, which is natural goodness. Natural goodness the natural ability to distinguish between right and wrong. Now, let's go back to the oath. The oath mentions four things. Teen, Zaytun, Tur Sinin, Hadha al-Balad al-Amin. Okay, the Tur, At-Teen, refers to the fig, refers to the place where Nuh alayhi salam was. And Az-Zaytun refers to the place where Isa alayhi salam was, because there was a lot of olives in that area. Jerusalem is famous for its olives, and that's where Isa alayhi salam was. Tur Sinin, the Mount Sinai, is obviously referring to Musa alayhi salam, right? Mount Sinai. And هَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ, this peaceful city, which would be Makkah, referring to who? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ibrahim. Right? He was the one who built the Kaaba that caused the city to be peaceful. And of course, from his progeny is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you see, five of the greatest prophets are referenced in this oath. Not by name, but by the place they were at. Makkah is known for the Kaaba and its peace. Mount Sinai is known for Mount Sinai for being the mountain that it is. The place where Isa alayhi salam was known for olives. The place where Nuh alayhi salam was known for a fig. So they're referenced through these words. And what Allah, now the connection between the argument that human beings are really good and the oath is that this is the best case scenario of humanity. This is how good a human being can get. This is the peak of humanity. These five people that are mentioned here. Everybody is born good, and if they live up to their goodness, that's how good they can get. That's the highest peak of humanity that they can achieve. Nuh, Isa, Musa, Ibrahim, and Muhammad alayhi salam. So powerful. But then also at the same time, رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ, the person could be turned into the worst of the worst. Just like the Prophet's own uncle, like Ibrahim's own father. Right? They could be turned, Nuh alayhi's own son and wife. Right? Human beings can be at the peak of humanity like these five, or be the worst of the worst. And as you see how beautifully Allah connects the oath with the argument that he's strengthening. And he does this, you know, very, very incredibly in the entire Quran. We'll quickly look at the conclusion of these of Juz Amma, because the conclusion is really beautifully tied together, right? Surah Asr, I'm going to pick up from Surah Asr. Surah Asr is, Allah SWT takes an oath by time, the time of Asr. This is the time of Asr right now, by the way. Time of Asr is when the day is ending, because Maghrib is the beginning of the new day. In the Sharia, right? For the Arabs and in the Sharia, Maghrib is when the new day begins. That's why we'll celebrate Eid right now, inshallah, after Maghrib. Because that's the end of the day, that's the end of the month, that's it, right? So, Asr is particularly when the time is running out on the day. He takes an oath by time when it is running out, and he says, Innal insana lafi khusr. Absolutely no doubt, people are in a state of perpetual loss. Because time is running out. If a person is just standing around, not doing anything, if they're killing time, they're killing themselves. If a person is killing time, they're killing themselves. There's no such thing as killing time. You're killing yourself. That's what you're doing. Because Allah says, by the time as it runs out on the day, that's how life is. Time is running out. Every second that goes by, every minute that goes by, every hour that goes by, every day that goes by, we're closer to our deaths. Time is running out really fast. That's why everybody is a loser. Except who? Except إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who have iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good things. Their iman makes them better people. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, generic statement. All sorts of good, they do it. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they stand up and they advise each other and they cooperate to establish al-haq, the truth. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and this is hard, so it's not easy. They also advise each other to be patient and to not lose hope. Now, what happens is, how do people lose themselves? How do people waste their time? What is it that causes people to become losers? Next surah explains to us. وَيْلُ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ. Everyone who is someone who backbites, who engages in gossip, and mockery behind people's backs, or even just random talk that has no benefit. People sitting in coffee shops talking for hours upon hours upon hours. What did you talk about? No idea. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Right? This person is the one who is at a big loss here. The next surah, Surah Al-Fil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a great miracle. Right? أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. The people of Abraha who came to destroy Makkah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with them. How He turned them into the losers. How He turned them into the losers. The next surah talks about the Surah Quraysh. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. All of this was done. This great miracle was shown. The birds that came and pelted stones at Abraha were for what? لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ. For the protection and safety of Quraysh, to establish that Quraysh will live peacefully and they're untouchable. They're untouchable. Right? Because after this, nobody dared to lift a sword at Quraysh after the incident of Abraha. So, all of this was done for the sake of Quraysh, إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Also to protect their caravans. Nobody dared touch the loaded caravans of Quraysh that were carrying gold and silver and spices and all sorts of assets. Nobody dared touch it. You know why? Because of what happened to Abraha. Because of what happened to Abraha. Now, you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it from people are losers. One of the biggest ways people become losers are by gossiping and wasting time. Then He talked about a big loser, which was Abraha, who thought he could compete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then He talks about all of this was done to protect Quraysh and provide them with security. Abraha was destroyed to provide them with security, lest they become losers. But what did Quraysh do? In Quraysh you had أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Instead of, you know, doing good deeds, and instead of, you know, thanking Allah for His blessings, فَلِيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Instead of worshipping Allah exclusively, and the one who protected them and provided all of this to them, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. They became like the one who denied the Day of Judgment. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. And because of their corrupt beliefs, they started to drive away the orphan, meaning take advantage of the ones who was vulnerable. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And the people who are poor wouldn't care about feeding them. Selfish, becoming extremely selfish. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. The ones who are praying and they are heedless of their prayers. الَّذِينَ يُرَاءُونَ. They're showing off while they're praying. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. And they withhold even the smallest amount of goodness. What's interesting here, Quraysh, all of this was done to protect you from becoming losers. And in Quraysh now you find these people who have become the biggest of losers. They become so selfish, so self-obsessed, they can't even give the smallest good to anybody. And then, subhanAllah, Allah, the next surah is Surah Kawthar. The Prophet ﷺ is told, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Don't worry about these people in Quraysh who are saying this and that to you, who have become the worst of the worst. You don't worry about them. You focus on what you have to do, Ya Rasulullah. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. Because we have given you so much good. You do what? فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ. You pray to your master and wanhar, and you sacrifice. When this ayah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ didn't even have one camel. He didn't even own one camel. This was a prophecy that there will be a day where you will have many, many camels that you will sacrifice. And that was a prophecy for the conquest of Makkah. And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ did in Makkah, where he slaughtered 63 camels by his own hand. And the meat was given to the poor and the needy. One har inna shaniyaka huwa al-abtar. Your enemies, the one who's before, the one who withholds even the smallest amount of good, they are the ones who will be cut off. They are the ones who will be total losers. The next surah is Surah Kafirun. Now the people of yamna'un al-ma'un, them as a complete group, was the leaders of Quraysh. So Surah Al-Kafirun addresses them. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. You who have disbelieved. Al-Kafirun. The ones who are defiantly disobedient, their kufr is set in stone. They're addressed, and then at the same time, after their address, Surah An-Nasr says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Despite these kuffar, نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ will come. The victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, and the opening will come. Doesn't matter how much the opposition is, that victory will not be stopped. فَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you will see people entering the faith in multitudes. When this happens, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. And the irony of ironies, people are entering in multitudes in Islam, but the one who is the closest to the Prophet ﷺ, the one whose sons were married to his daughters, the one who took care of the Prophet ﷺ financially and loved him for so many years of his life, did not accept Islam. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ أَبُو لَهَبٍ. In fact, he was one of the first ones to reject it, and this surah was one of the earliest revelations, a miracle of Quran, because if Abu Lahab wanted to prove the Quran wrong, he would have accepted Islam and said, hey, look, this ayah is now wrong. But from the very first, some of the earliest revelations laid the foundation that this man is not accepting Islam. And afterwards, all of this is, you know, concluded. The Quran began with Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, describing who Allah is. The last three surahs also describe to us who Allah is. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. He is Allah who is uniquely one. Allahu Samad. He is the one who is As-Samad. Everyone depends on him and he needs nobody. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Nobody, he does not give birth. وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. And he was not born. He's timeless. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And there is nobody who is even close to him. Describes who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Surah Falaq and Surah Nas also talk about that. They're describing bi Rabb al Falaq, bi Rabb al Nas. The Rabb of al Falaq is the creation. Rabb al Nas, the Rabb of the people. Rabb of all the cosmos, and the Rabb of the people who live on the earth. Rabb al Falaq is protection from external sources. Min sharri ma khalaq, from people's evil. Sharri ghasiqin idha waqaf, from the evil of the darkness as it settles. This is usually when shayateen are active. شَرِّ النَّفَّثَاتِ فِي الْأُقَدْ, magic. وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ, when someone hates us for no reason, but because they want what we have, all external evils. And Surah An-Nas talks about protection from what's inside. شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ, from the evil of the whisperer. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ, the one who whispers in the chests of mankind from the jinnah, from jinn and from mankind. Internal evil, whispering of shaitan, whispering of the soul, right? All of that. Falaq is protection from external evil. Surah Nas is protection from internal evil. Surah Falaq is Rabbil Falaq, the Rabb of the cosmos. Surah Nas is the Rabb of the people that walk the earth. Really beautiful correlation. Quran began by describing who Allah is. Quran ends by describing who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Quran began by saying, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqeem, guide us to the straight path. Quran ended by Allah saying, Qul, say, A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq. Qul, A'udhu bi Rabbil Nas. You want to be guided? Make these du'as. Protect yourself through these du'as. Such incredible symmetry. And I just touched on, I scratched the surface here. SubhanAllah, we skipped so much. And it's obviously because of the brevity of time. But Alhamdulillah, I hope that at least we realize how powerful this book is and how incredible it is and how much we should be focused on studying it. How much we need to invest in studying it. And inshallah, on that note, I'm just going to announce something that inshallah, after this study of Quran, after Ramadan, inshallah, we'll be continuing our study of Quran. We'll be starting a program called Journey to Quran. It will be a tafsir of Surah Hujurat, Surah number 49, all the way down to tafsir of Surah An-Nas. And we'll do it every Sunday, August the 10th. We'll start August the 10th, so we'll have a couple of week offs, inshallah, for Ramadan. And it will be exactly 30 minutes. I will put a timer so that it doesn't go on forever. Exactly 30 minutes, we'll do it. It will be a translation of the surah and some of the linguistic beauties in it, and also the lessons, what we can extrapolate from it, every Sunday, inshallah, starting on the 10th of August. It starts after Maghrib, inshallah, 8:30-ish. So I really hope that all of us who are here, that we'll be together again to study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a bit more detail. We'll make a concluding dua. This is from a sahabi. I believe it was Abdullah bin Mas'ud. When he would finish reading Quran, he would gather his family and he would make dua. So we'll make a concluding dua, inshallah, after having completed this study of Quran. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li azimi sultanik. اللهم الحمد لله الذي من نعمته تتم الصالحات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد وما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد وما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد اللهم تقبل منا صيامنا وقيامنا وصالح الاعمال واختم بالباقيات الصالحات اعمالنا يا رب العالمين اللهم ارحمنا بالقران وَجَعَلْهُ لَنَا إِمَامًا وَنُورًا وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً Oh Allah, have mercy on us and show us mercy through the Qur'an and make it for us a light and a guide. اللَّهُمَّ ذَكِّرْنَا مِنْهُ مَا نَسِيْنَا Oh Allah, remind us of it, what we have forgotten. وَعَلِّمْنَا مِنْهُ مَا جَهِلْنَا And teach us what we don't know. وَرْزُقْنَا تِلَاوَتَهُ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ And give us the ability to recite it day and night. وَجَعَلْهُ لَنَا حُجَّةً يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ And make it a proof for us on the Day of Judgment, يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ Ameen. Taqabbalallahu minna minkum jameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah khairan all for being here, especially those of us who came every day. Abdullah, Brother Abdul Haq, and all of you guys who came. And it was great. And hopefully we'll join, we'll see everybody again August the 10th, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. People online as well, Jazakum Allah khairan, Serge Baji and the rest who were all there. My dad as well who's watching online. So I appreciate all of you all who came. Jazakum Allah khairan, Sister Aziza as well, who was there every day. Shukran lakum, Jazakum Allah khairan, may Allah accept. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum, sorry, one second. Right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakum Allah khairan. Come on.
كمان؟
My name is كمان. شهر جميل.
الحمد لله.
وكثرت خيرك. إن شاء الله ربنا يجعل ميزان حسناتك.
آمين. بارك الله في جميعا إن شاء الله.
إن شاء الله.
يا من كتابنا جميعا إن شاء الله. جزاك الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم. جزاك الله خير. السلام عليكم. جزاك الله خير. السلام عليكم. ورحمة الله
إن شاء الله. يا
sit and talk about stuff and I'm sure that you've been to Jordan and this and that, so Alhamdulillah, it'd be nice. Alhamdulillah.
It's busy schedule after this.
Yeah. What are you working? I remember you said you were working.
At a restaurant.
Your restaurant, right. And after that, Ramadan, post Ramadan, you'll be back with that?
Back.
You'll be busy with that?
Yeah, I'll be busy with that. Starting tomorrow, inshallah.
Starting tomorrow, subhanAllah. Not even a day of praying?
No, actually, there's not much to do besides the prayer. You know?
Right.
There's been a lot. A lot of people, it's a Muslim restaurant. You know, here, Bilal, I don't know if you've heard about it.
Maybe.
In Martin Grove, next there.
No, I don't know that either one. Yeah.
So, it's basically a Somali restaurant, so a lot of people are going to be there.
Alhamdulillah.
That's basically where people are around.
Alhamdulillah.